Will you bow your heads with me as we seek our Lord? King of the universe, mighty Father, Lord Jesus, our close best friend, we reach out to you right now. We want to hear from you at this moment. Lord, your children are listening. Our hearts are open. Help us to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does this sound like a job that you would like to pursue? A candidate for this job. I mean, sometimes people are looking for jobs. I'm going to describe a job for you. See if it's something you'd like to maybe turn in a resume today. Candidate for this career must endure nausea for several months at the job's outset. Must tolerate your body stretching to unbelievable dimensions. Must withstand excruciating pain to deliver the fruit of one's labor. After product delivery, a candidate must function happily despite sleep deprivation for the next 18 years or more. Understand a crying, babbling language. Answer phone calls and tend to a toddler while preparing dinner and nursing an infant. Cook economical, nutritious meals according to certain people's preferences and or allergies. Be present in two or more locations at once. Possess inner radar to locate lost belongings of little ones and even fellow coworkers. Hold a degree in medicine and psychology. Bake countless cookies and cupcakes for fundraisers. Cheer budding athletes in rain or shine. Treasure sticky kisses. Possess dental skills to remove teeth. And wear extra strong knee pads for hours spent in prayer. Forgive and request forgiveness over and over and over again. Love unconditionally, even when it's hard to like. And folks, I think we just scratched the surface. Amen? Anyone want to complain about their desk job now? What a high calling motherhood is. And that is what we celebrate this weekend. This morning, let's talk about mothers. Now, you may be one, but if not, I know you have or had one. And if you aren't a mom, I know that you know of a mom. So I pray that the message this morning will speak to all of us today, whether we're a mom or not. Question for you as we begin, thinking all the way back to the beginning, was God's creation perfect? If you want to open your Bibles to Genesis 1, that's where we're going to begin today. And in Genesis 1, as you look at each day of God's creation, he ends by saying, "It is good." We're going to go to Genesis, the very beginning today. Now, next question for you. Adam, the first person that God created, was he perfect? Yes, he was perfect. Was he complete? No. This morning, we're going to figure out what makes a mom. They actually did a poll of school-aged kids, asking them some questions. We're going to look at those today. Why did God make mothers? Was one of the questions that they asked. And this is not my responses now. This is the responses of children, school-aged kids, okay? So I can't be held responsible for what I'm going to share. Why did God make mothers? One young person said she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. That's why God made mothers. Another young one said, mostly to clean the house. Okay. Another one wrote, why did God make mothers? Well, to help us get out of there when we're being born. So there's some truth to that one, I think. But the Bible gives us an answer as well. as to why God made mothers. God looked at his creation after he'd made things and he said, it's good. The air's good. The plants are good. The flowers are good. The animals, they're great. Then in Genesis chapter 2, all of a sudden, God says, it's not good. Out of this perfect creation, God suddenly says, it's not good. Something is not good. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 18 this morning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. What was not good? Now, Genesis 2 adds some details to Genesis 1 and the creation story. But in verse 18, God says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. Adam was perfect, but not complete. So God creates a helpmeet for him, a helper. Now, when you look at that word helper there, it's not a servant. It's not what God was creating that day, and he wasn't creating a ruler over Adam, but a helpmeet, a companion. And that word there for help, we haven't quite understood what that word means. It's not someone who just, you know, what do I need to do to help you today? That's not it. That word for help, the original word in the Hebrew, is actually, most times in the Old Testament, it is a word that's used for the help that God gives to us. That's the type of help that is being spoken of here. This is a huge calling, because this help is on par with the help that God gives. Amen. God has given a very high calling to those with us today. Now again, they ask questions to these kids, and we'll look at their answers. How did God make mothers? That's important to know. Where did they come from? How did God make them? One person said, well, he used dirt like the rest of us. Okay? Another one said, how did God make mothers? Well, magic, plus superpowers, and lots of stirring. That's where moms came from. The Bible gives us an answer, too, on that. How did God make mothers? There in Genesis chapter 1 now, we'll look at verse 27. It's important to know where we came from. Genesis 1, verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So both are made in the image of God. Amen? Females are not a subhuman class. Amen? It's a high calling. So how did God do it? Well, he told Adam, it's nap time. Adam was a newborn. He said, it's time to take a nap. I don't know if he cried like most newborns, but I do know he went to sleep. He went to sleep, and God did something amazing. If you got your Bible still open there to Genesis, look at chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. God builds woman from a rib. Notice that word there, made or built. He didn't simply speak her into existence, but he took something from man and made a woman from man's side to be an equal to him. And then Adam wakes up, and I don't know exactly how that worked, but I'm guessing he was maybe a little sleepy or groggy. He's blinking his eyes, trying to focus, and then a being is before him, and he wipes away the sleep from his eyes, and he looks and he sees this being, and he says, whoa, man. And that's how women got their name. Maybe not exactly like that, but let's see what he did say. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 23, once he wipes that sleep away from his eyes. And look at your Bibles, and we all have different translations, but I want to read the original language to you, not the original language, but a literal translation of what the original word said there. It's neat. We don't often catch it in our translations. But what Adam really says is, this is the proper step. Today we might say, this is it. Because remember, he'd been naming all the animals and didn't find any one for him. He says, this is the proper step. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. For this it is called woman. For from a man hath this been taken. See, in that verse, three times Adam uses the word this. He's so excited he can't even contain it. God created mothers, and man said, this is good. Mothers came from God. That's why it's a high calling, ladies, because of the high origin of where you came from. But this morning, let's talk about mothers before they were mommies. Let's do that today. Now, you may say, wait a second, my mom wasn't always a mom? I know, that's kind of shocking. But they asked some kids again this question. What kind of little girl was your mom? I asked that to some school-aged kids, and one was very emphatic. Said, my mom has always been a mom and none of that other stuff. What kind of little girl was your mom? One youngster said, I don't know because I wasn't there. But my guess would be pretty bossy. I'm sorry, ladies. I'm just reporting. I'm going back to my old journalistic days. Just reporting what was shared. My favorite one, though, was the one who said, what kind of little girl was your mom? And one said, they say she used to be nice. Ouch. We must remember that our mom was once a kid, too. Our mom was once a teenager, too. Crazy, huh? And moms, you must remember that fact as well. You have to remember where you came from. There's a wonderful verse in the Bible that tells us something amazing about our God, about Jesus. I want you to turn to Hebrews now, into the New Testament, to the back of the New Testament. We find something here in Hebrews that tells us something about Jesus, and I think tells us something about moms too, and all of us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, speaking about what Jesus is doing today. Please don't get in your mind that Jesus is up in heaven on vacation, just hanging out, waiting to come. He's working just as hard to save you and me as he was 2,000 years ago. But look at what it says here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Speaking about Jesus as our high priest. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. Yet without sin. Powerful words about Jesus. The Bible tells us that he was tempted just like you, just like me. He knows what we're going through, so we can trust him. Jesus knows our struggles, he knows our temptations. And the best mothers remember what it was like to be a kid. They remember how hard schoolwork was. They remember how frustrating it is to be little. They remember how tough it was to have that first crush or the first time to have your heart broken. The best moms are like Jesus. They understand and can sympathize just like he can. So young people, children, don't forget that your mom was once where you are. She understands. So you can go to her, you can talk to her. And moms, don't forget your past. You struggled once, like your children may struggle now. And once upon a time, your mother chose to become a wife. What was that like? The day that she had possibly dreamed of her whole life. Again, they asked children this question. What did your mom need to know about your dad before getting married? What did she need to know? The children gave some wonderful insights on this. What you need to know about a guy. So ladies, if some of you aren't married yet, this is what you want to know about him first, before you say, I do. What did you need to know? Number one, his last name. Got to know that. Another young person was very fiscally mindsetted and said, does he make at least $100, at least $800 a year? She didn't want him to take care of you with at least $800. And the last one, did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? These are good questions to ask. God gives an answer here too for why your mom got married. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. You go back now to Genesis 2, verse 24. Why did she get married in the first place? Genesis 2, verse 24. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God says, the Bible says that she wanted to become one. That's why. Now, before we go on with that, there was another question that was asked. Why did your mom marry your dad? Out of all the guys she could have married, she chose your dad. Why did she do that? Well, one young person knew their mom quite well and said, my dad makes the best spaghetti in the world, and my mom eats a lot. That's why they got married. Another one said, you know, why did your mom marry your dad? Well, she got too old to do anything else with him. God gives a little different answer. He says they got married. They left their homes of origin, their families, to become one. And the Hebrew mind on oneness is different than ours. Whether you realize it or not, you're very Greek-minded, which in Greek minds, one plus one has got to equal two. But in the Hebrew mind, one and one can also be one. And they just don't, doesn't bother them. That's why the Trinity concept isn't a bother. That you can have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God. That's a different sermon. But united in purpose, in interests, in affections, that's what it means to be one. And notice the two words in that verse that rhyme if you've got the King James Version, leave and cleave. You must leave your parents at marriage to start a new family. Some marriages struggle because one or both spouses never truly left. That doesn't mean you don't still have connection with your parents, but you have to leave in order to cleave, to come together. Now, what is the job of the wife? Or maybe we should ask, what are the jobs, plural, of the wife? Remember that list we had at the start? What are the jobs of the wife? Well, the Bible says in the New Testament, the father is the head of the house, the spiritual head or leader. Now, some may think, well, do we have to get married to complete what God planned for our lives? No. Paul says that there are many who aren't called to that, and they can live a wonderful, fulfilled life being single, and there's nothing wrong with that. Paul says there's a beauty in that. But for those who did get married and they're together, the Bible says the father is the spiritual head of the household. So, men, are we the spiritual leaders in our homes today? Who's the one prompting the family to get up and go to church every week? Who's the one who's prompting the family to sit down and do family worship? And that's an important thing to do. Because if you're not connected all week long, we can't get it all done in a day. Family worship is very important. Gentlemen, who's the one being the leader? Guys, are we doing our job? Or have we added just another job to mom's lengthy resume? I shoot pretty close to myself sometimes, and if it gets close to you, okay. There are some dads who have two kids, but mom has three. Because she got two kids plus dad to take care of. Gentlemen, one of the best gifts that we can give to our children's mother is to do our job. Lastly today, let's talk about motherhood. Motherhood is a high calling because of its origin and because of its role. What's mom's job? Kids say, moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. And that's true, don't they? I don't know how moms do it, but there can be so much pain and hurt from a fall, but mom can somehow just wipe it away. Maybe it's magic. This one's mine. I will confess to this next one. Describe moms. If I had to describe moms in a word, what would I say? Moms are insane. OK? Okay, I'll take full credit for this one. Now, before you throw anything at me, let me explain. You really are, you're insane. And I praise you for your insanity. I do. And here's why. Because someone once, I've been close during childbirth, but I never experienced it, okay? But someone once described childbirth like pulling a watermelon out of your nose. Okay? Now follow me on this. Friends, if anything the size of a watermelon comes out of my body, I am going to do everything humanly possible to ensure that it never happens again. And that's why moms are insane. And I'm so thankful that my mom was insane. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. Because my mom had my sister first. And then she decided, let's do that again. I think it took her a while, but... And that's insane. So praise God for your insanity, ladies. Praise God. Some of us would not be here otherwise. Moms are a special thing. Being a mom is a high calling. Sometimes you feel like you're called to be perfect, don't you, ladies? Again, they asked moms, they asked kids about their moms, what would it take to make your moms perfect? And the kids answered, what would it take to make your mom perfect? One kid said, on the inside, she's already perfect. On the outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. That's not good. It's not good. What would it take to make your mom perfect? One kid replied, diet. You know her hair, I dye it, like blue or something. The answer is from children. Another question they asked, if you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? Think about that one for a second. You've got mom out there. If you could change one thing about mom, what would it be? One child replied and said, I'd make mom smarter. Then she would know that it was my sister who did it and not me. Another one said, I would like for her to get rid of those eyes in the back of her head. I don't know how they do it, but they do it somehow. Now, many of us feel that our moms are perfect. But today you may be out there thinking, you know what, Pastor? My mom isn't perfect, or my mom wasn't perfect. She messed up lots. So what do I do on Mother's Day if my mom is messed up, if she's made mistakes, if she's messed up my life? What do I do with my mom? You know what you do on Mother's Day? Give her a break, okay? If she messed up, give her a break. This is an impossible job, amen? Mothers are not perfect. They mess up, just like you do. So get over it. Ask God to help you and forgive her. For years ago, she once held you in her arms and wept. Just because you were breathing. And those tears of joy over a baby turn to tears of frustration as we grow older. So give her a break. Forgive her. That may be the best gift that we can give tomorrow. Our mom's perfect. Well, my mom is perfect. I will tell you that. She is. Years ago, when I was probably about 10 or 12 or so, she had a garage sale. Now, growing up when I was little, I grew up, you know, years ago, and I was very big into Star Wars. That was huge for me. I remember when I first saw the first Star Wars action figure, and the neighbor boy showed me how the lightsaber came right out of his hand. And I thought, this is the greatest invention in the history of man. And so I collected all those figures. I had tons of them from way back in the day, back in the 70s, I had them. And I kept them in great condition. Had all the parts and everything. Had them. They were great. My mom had a garage sale. She sold them for 25 cents. Not a piece, but like for a dozen, 25 cents. Now they go on eBay and different things over the internet. Some sell for hundreds of dollars, others for thousands. My mom says, Michael, we lost a fortune. I said, you're right. But she's perfect because she loves me in spite of my mistakes. And she taught me how to love her in spite of her mistakes. It's a high calling because of origin, because of role, and it's a high calling because mothers are important to God. Amen? We see that in His Word. Jesus actually relates to mothers. If you turn with me to Matthew real quickly, I'm going to show you this verse that we sometimes skip over and we don't realize its significance. Matthew chapter 23. Jesus compares Himself to a mother. Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus speaking here as He looks out over Jerusalem, and He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Jesus compares Himself to a mother hen. He could have said, I want to be like a rooster to protect you or something like that, but He doesn't. He says, I longed like a mother hen to gather you around me. Mothers are important to God. God placed mothers right in the midst of the Ten Commandments, in the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. And that's the commandment with a promise in it, that it will be well in your life. Why will it be well if you do that commandment? Well, if you honor your mother and your father and they honored God, guess what? You'll keep the first four and you'll keep the last five if you do that fifth one. One last reason that we know mothers are special to God, because while dying on a Roman cross, suffering physical and spiritual agony beyond our comprehension, as Jesus endured all that, as He hung dying, struggling to draw each breath, He thought of His mother. If you want to turn with me to John chapter 19, we'll see this. John chapter 19, verse 26. There He is, hanging on the cross. John chapter 19, verse 26. When Jesus, therefore, saw His mother, and the disciple whom He loved standing by, He said to His mother, Woman, behold your son. Then He said to the disciple, Behold your mother. With everything He was going through and everything He was suffering, He still thought of His mom, and He commissioned John to take care of her. In all your sufferings and all your hardships, do you think about your mother? Is Mother's Day just a day? Or by God's grace and power, can we make it every day? Motherhood is a high calling because it's important to God. Folks, I want you to know this morning that little things matter in a love relationship. A card, a hug, a flower, even if it's a dandelion. They matter, don't they, moms? It's not the big things that matter to moms or even to God. Because at the very end, there are some who are going to say, Lord, didn't we do the big things for you? We healed, we cast out demons, we did all this. And Jesus says, I didn't know you. And you didn't do the little things. You didn't love the least of those around you. You didn't go see them when they were sick. You didn't take care of them when they were in prison. You didn't feed them. You didn't do the little things. Let your mom know how much she means to you. And do the little things. Let her know how much you need her. Tell her you love her. Tell her thank you. My friends, I need God every hour. But every time I turn to Him, I know He's there. I know that He has given me a mother who loves me, because every time I need her, she's there for me too. I still need God. And I still need a loving mom. But she needs me too. So my friends, let's love our mothers today, that the world might see that, might see our love and see the love of God in us and how we love each other. And that's another way that we can change our world. At this time, before we sing our closing song, I want to do one more thing for moms. I want to again ask those moms to stand up, those grandmas to stand up, and those moms, those ladies out there who just have a mother's heart, I want to ask you to stand up. And now, I know this is going to be a little awkward, but there's a mom near you. So I want you to stand up and go get by a mom and put your hand on her if you can, or put your hand on someone who's got a hand on a mom. We're going to pray for these ladies today, okay? So if you got to move around, that's fine. Go ahead and stand up and get near to a mom. We're going to pray for them today. Find one of those moms and put your hand on her. I'm going to find one right now too, and I'm going to put my hand on her, and we're going to pray for these special ladies. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray today. Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, you've given us so much. It's good for us to pause and to think about what you've given us in the gift of moms. Lord, they've wiped our noses. They've wiped our tears. They've loved us when we were covered in dirt from head to toe. They've loved us even when we were making them want to pull their hair out of their heads. They've loved us even when they weren't sure what to do with us. Thank you, Lord, for giving them the heart that they needed, the strength that they needed to love people like us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for moms today, and we ask you to bless them in a very, very special way today. May they know just how high a calling this is. And Lord, may they know that they do not walk this road alone. You will walk with them. We thank you, Lord, for our moms. We need them. And Lord Jesus, we need you too. Thank you for always being there for us. Be with us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.